several different places in the Bible this morning, if you dare to follow along.
I do have notes. I rarely have notes. I will pray that God would take my poor preparation and make something out of this. I don't think this is going to be a long message. I won't look up where I can see some of the relief on some of your faces. Sorry. Hebrews 11:33. God done something amazing over the last week. I got invited to go do a lesson for a CR, and they use these acrostics, and I'm not used to doing lessons, and I'm not used to using acrostics. So I almost turned it down, because when I go somewhere, I say, I want to do what God wants me to do, you know what I mean? I get all spiritual-minded. Really, the truth of it is, I was nervous, because I didn't want to have to do the work, I guess, to put in it, but I went ahead and done it, and it worked so well with my mind, how fast my mind runs sometimes, that when I done it, I was like, I'm going to do this again. And so this Sunday, we're going to do it again. We're going to use an acrostic today. This message is for believers. When I say believers, I mean believers in Jesus Christ. You've been born again, you've been saved, okay? Now, if somewhere in this message you feel like, well, hey, I don't know if that belongs to me or not, then guess what? That'd be a great time to say, you know what? I need Jesus. Every message either points out the fact that you need Jesus or that you have Jesus. Amen? So this is going to be one of those. Hopefully you need the encouragement. I know I do. But in Hebrews 11:33, there's a reference here. It says, who through faith, the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we know there's a list of people in there, but we won't show you this one. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. You know who that refers to, right? It's Daniel, right? Daniel. Daniel slept, or I don't know if he slept, but he was in the cave in the night with some lions. Amen. God will allow you to stay a night in the cave with the lions. Let me put it this way. God will allow you to go through some things that should destroy you, should kill you, should end you. But on the other end, you will be strengthened and He will be glorified. Come on, y'all, that should have been a little bit more right there. Y'all should say, yes. There are probably about 50 people in here who are on the other side of something. You're on the other side of it, and you should have really let that go right there. You should have said, praise God. I was in the lion's den. And if you don't praise Him, I don't think God ever has a problem putting us back in the lion's den. Amen? I was sitting there, there were so many moments in the worship this morning I almost lost it. But I was, that first line of that one song, it said, a well that overflows. Whew. Weren't you glad the well overflows? Man, he don't ever run out, does he? If there was somebody, I think of it this way. You think about the thief on the cross being the first recorded, there's probably more who said, remember me, right? All the way up into the person who got saved today, or will, who says, Jesus. And the well's overflowing for that person, the same as it was over 2,000 years ago. Ain't that amazing? The well that overflows. Man, that's so good. But let's take an acrostic. We're going to take it from Daniel, the name Daniel. So we're going to go to Romans 12:1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and I want to encourage you today that if you would dedicate your life, the D being in Daniel, if you would dedicate your life, the scripture's like this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Daniel was a teenager when he was taken into captivity. All right, in the Babylon, a teenager, a young man, and he was taken into captivity, and he didn't understand why God was taking him, but God was taking a teenager into captivity to glorify himself instead of glorifying himself in the promised land. Sometimes the enemy thinks they're winning and they take a Christian with them and they never should have. Because God don't need a big kingdom to show himself off. He can do it through three or four people. Amen? He can do it through one person. So he chose Daniel. What I want you to understand today is dedicate your life. Dedicate your life. I'm not talking about salvation here. Salvation is simple. Complicated but simple. Easy. It's a gift. The Bible is always referring to salvation as a gift in the Bible. It's always free. It's always freely given. Freely given, freely received. All you have to do is ask for it. It's all through the Bible. But dedicating your heart, mind, soul, life, and everything that consists of is different. There are many, many Christians who never dedicate their life to Jesus. You're born again, but you're following the old man. You're following the old woman. You're following your old way. You're born again. You're saved as you can be, but you're not sold out to Jesus. Amen? Daniel got to a place where he dedicated himself. He says, God, no matter where I'm at or what I'm doing, no matter how old I am or how young I am, I'm going to dedicate my service to you no matter what I'm doing. And he says, this is your reasonable. In 12:1, it says, that's your reasonable service, that you be a living sacrifice. I always say it this way. Jesus was a dying sacrifice. He asked you to be a living sacrifice. That's fair. Amen? But you got to be complete. Amen? Every bit of Jesus was on the cross. Every bit of your life should be on the altar to God. Amen? Yes, every bit of your life. I know it's hard, it sounds complicated, but it's very rewarding. Amen? Very rewarding. You'll never, not one person in this room will ever regret. You'll never say, man, I wish I'd done less for Jesus. I wish I hadn't done so much for God. I hate to say it, but most of us are going to be in this boat. I wish I had done more. I have one regret in my life. I wish I'd started earlier. Amen? I have one regret. I wish I could do more. Amen. I started thinking about, I want to kind of tilt this. Every message, we all want to tilt it. Amen. We always want to kind of put our own little spin on it. I really wanted to get into those teenagers and young people. I want to say, see, Daniel was a young man when he went into captivity. And you need to make up your mind when you're young to serve God. Well, that sounds good. And some of you older people say, amen. But I know one thing for me is every age has a newness. Amen. Every age has limitations. Every age has its own hurdles. It has its own challenges. And has its own requirements. Amen? Golly. Will y'all allow me to preach this morning? I would really appreciate it. Some of y'all are like 1 foot out the door and 1 foot in here. But I always want to think like this. I always want to God, you know, I can always look to the other generation. Man, they need to come on. They need to do more. But then God looks at me and says, hey, you know, I'm not done with you yet. Amen? I'm not done with you yet. 20's hard, amen? We got our own excuses when we're 20. You know what? I really ain't figured it out yet, God. I don't know if I'm going to be this or I'm going to be that. Wouldn't it be cool if you'll dedicate your life to Christ and say, no matter what my career choice is, I'm going to serve God in it? Wouldn't you imagine if you dedicate your life in your 20s that God would somehow kind of bend the curve and make your career connect with your calling? I'll say it again real slow. Wouldn't it be amazing that God would take your career and kind of bend it and connect it with your calling? And the next thing you know, you might fall in love with the thing that you've been called to do, and then you also getting paid for it. Amen, preacher. I always found this. You know what? A lot of times, if you'll ever find out what you're in love with and you get to do that, you'll never work a day in your life. Amen. Somebody said, how long have you been working in ministry? And I said, I haven't. I left Shaw. That's when I stopped working. Amen. So is it not hard then? No, there's some hard work in it, but praise God, it's not work. It's love. It's passion. Amen? It's desire. But how about 30? Man, 30, that's a weird year, man. Somebody called me 37 yesterday. I almost hugged their neck. Amen? He said, so you're 37? I was like, yeah. I wanted to lie so bad. I said, no, I'm 47. She goes, they said, God, our job, 47. I was like, get out of here, kid. Give me that candy back. 47. But, you know, 30 has its own limitations, don't it? Has its own, oh, I'm just starting my family. I got my kids. I don't know if I can really sell out to God. I don't really know if I can do my calling. Hey, wouldn't it be amazing if you sold out to God that God can take care of you and your kids? Amen. Wouldn't it be cool if 10 years from now, when you're 30-something, that God can look back and your kids can look back and say, my mom and daddy were godly people. They raised me in a godly way. Instead of going back saying, man, I wish they had raised me in a godly way. Amen. I'm not going to do all the ages, but I just want to say this too. But praise God, you're never too old to start a ministry. Amen. And there is no ministry too small or too big for God. Amen? Because guess what? Somebody needs what you have. If you're still breathing, God's got you on the map. Amen? Stop giving God your limitations and the way that you can't. Just say, God, use me as I am. Amen? Daniel, I guarantee when he showed up in Babylon, didn't go down there and say, man, we're about to run this place, God. You know what? Can I preach just a little bit right here? Do you know really what God started with Daniel is? Do you know what he really did? He said, I'm not going to eat that. That's how it started with Daniel. He didn't say, I'm going to start a big prayer group. I'm going to start a big ministry. I'm going to start preaching and teaching, all this stuff. He just said when they come around, they said, we got some meat here that's been offered up to false gods. He said, he just kind of stood up and said, hey, I can't eat that. I can't compromise. And God met him right there. And from that point on, God took a direction in his life. Will you dedicate your service to God? Well, he could have been destroyed. He could have been in trouble. He could have been, yeah, you could have been a lot of things. But if you'll really sell out to God, let me tell you something. God will really take your life and do something with it you never imagined. You'll do more in your death, in your suffering, and in your pain than most people do in their success. Y'all let that slide by too. Amen? Because you know what? When I read this Hebrews chapter 11 and the Hall of Fame of Faith, I like the Samsons. I like all the ones that were like Noah, and I like Daniel, and I like the ones who walked through the fire that she sang about. I love those. But praise God, there's also some at the end of that chapter that said, and they were sewn asunder. I just kind of make that rhyme and go on through it and act like I didn't read it. A sewn asunder means they got cut in half. But God said their deaths were glorious. Their deaths were Hall of Fame worthy. They chose to die rather than to live in a world that wouldn't accept God. Wouldn't it? You have to dedicate your service to God. And it wouldn't hurt some of you. I'm not talking about come to the altar and rededicate. Some of y'all need to rededicate your service to God. Not your heart, not, okay, you're going to get re-saved. There's going to be a reboot in your salvation. Maybe just when you got to come up and say, renew the vow, say, hey, God, you know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I can't get no more saved. But I would like to rededicate my service to you. Amen. I would like to say, I'm sorry for getting stagnant and stale. I'm sorry for kind of getting lukewarm again. I'm settled. Amen. The Bible says, stir up the gift inside of you. Amen. You know why? Because it happens. The gifts of God, they all settle in the same place at the bottom of the pew. Amen. They do. I know. I've had it happen to me too. Amen. All right. We're going to take the word Daniel and let's go to the end. You know what? I just totally skipped the A, so let's not worry about that. I skipped the A. I transferred my notes from the other one to this one, and guess what? I left the A out. So we're gonna act like Daniel don't have an A in it, and we're gonna go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Start right there. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. We are gonna learn how to navigate this life. Navigate this life. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. Whew. Man, I'm telling you right now, that's easier read than said. Amen. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. God brought them to He brought them to Babylon to glorify himself. Listen, if you will trust in the Lord, listen, don't lean on your own understanding, because guess what? Some of y'all focus in right here with me. How many times in your life as a Christian have you thought this is a failure, a mistake, or something that shouldn't be happening? Yet 5 years down the road, or less or more, that you look back and go, that was probably the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Amen? That mistake, that failure, or that mess that I got into drew me closer to God, made me a better believer. It helped me see God more clearly than I ever have before. Amen? Listen, Daniel, I guarantee you, as a captive going into a different place, was thinking, this is somehow a mistake, God. Amen? But guess what? He looked, if you'll not lean on your own understanding, because so many times I'm sitting there, God, let me fix this. Let me show you how to fix this, because it seems like you're not doing what I want you to do. And he's actually right. Don't try to understand it. Try to go through it with God. And he will direct. Listen, I love this last part. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God is a director of paths. If you will acknowledge him, goodness gracious, if you will acknowledge him in every place, acknowledge him in the hospital. Acknowledge him at the funeral home. Acknowledge him in the raise. Acknowledge him in the marriage. Acknowledge him, oh my goodness. Acknowledge him in the relationship. Acknowledge him in the job. Acknowledge him in your family. And you'll be surprised. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. God will take you the long way. And sometimes God will take you the way that nobody else goes. Amen? I would like to tell you that God would take you, and we all want this. He'll take you to a place, and there'll be a sign there that says, turn right here, and it's going to take this long to get there, and this is what's going to happen on the way. But God's not like that. Here's what God does. Follow me. Turn right. And then he might not talk for another 4 years. When I put navigation in there, I really wanted God to be like my navigation system in my car. All right, in 0.5 miles, you're going to turn right. In 500 yards, you're going to turn right. In 200 yards, I love it. Don't you? No. Some of y'all are so spiritual. But hey, man, I'm looking at the screen, looking at the road, looking at the screen, looking at the road. All right, we're going to make this turn right here. Right? That's what I want God to be like so many times. But he's not. He just says, follow me. Trust me. Amen? Go this way. And then next thing you know, you've been walking for years in that same place, in that same way, going after God. And he's just directing your path. He's making all the turns. He's making all those things happen in your life. And you're down the road with him, but by faith. Amen? I guarantee you, Daniel, when he first started out, just saying, just give me some pulse. And that's the King James. He says, give me pulse. I don't know what pulse is. Some people say it's beans. Some people say it's salad. But pulse is not good. Amen? Everybody else was eating steak. And he's eating pulse. Amen? And everybody's making fun of him. He's like, I'm just trusting God. It seems like a mistake. It seems like failure. But somehow, I just don't think God wants me to go in that direction everybody else is going. I'm just going to go this way. And the next thing you know, they just make a turn. The next thing you know, he is one of the brightest, one of the smartest, and one of the most well-behaved. And guess what? He rises up through all the other people. He rises up above them and becomes a leader. Amen? Leader in a foreign country just because he said, you know what? I'll acknowledge God even in my eating. I'll let it sink in. Y'all look mad at me. We got some Baptist roots in here. Right? I'll acknowledge God in my eating. Oh, we thought, let's talk about drunks. Let's talk about heroin addicts. Let's talk about prostitutes. Let's just say, God, let's acknowledge God in the things that we do wrong. Amen? I'll acknowledge God in my business doings. Okay, let me just say it this way. I'll acknowledge God in my tithes, my offerings. I knew you, church man. I knew you, preacher, come in here and talk about giving. It's 2020, don't you know? Yeah, but if we acknowledge Jesus in our giving, in our tithes, in our job, in our business doings, maybe God will see us to the outside of 2020 into 2021 blessed more than we were when we came in. Amen? Well, there's no way he can do that. Oh, yeah. He can make a way. Amen? And listen, if you think I'm coming here, I didn't even know that was going to be in there. I just want you to know this. I don't want anything from you. I don't want nothing from you. Let me tell you something. You bless God, God will bless you. You take care of God's stuff, God will take care of your stuff. Amen? I ain't gonna say you're gonna get stuff over. I'm just gonna say some stuff will just last a lot longer than it used to. Amen? I'm just saying, hey, everybody else's car will be broke down on the side of the road, and that one that everybody, when it goes by, they'll go, what in the world is that thing still doing running? Amen. All right. Let's go to the I. Verse Psalm 91:15. I'm taking longer than I need to. I need to hurry up, don't I? Somebody say hurry up. I dare you. I dare you. I dare you say hurry. Man, that heater's on in here. Amen? Or is it just me, or is anybody hot? Yeah, somebody hit the air in here. Give me Psalm 91, verse 15. Can y'all see it? Psalm 91, 15. Daniel in the lion's den. I love this right here. Let me get 14 and 15 together. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on a high because he hath known my name. He shall call. Listen to this, verse 15. Listen to this. This is so good. He shall call upon me. Let me tweak that a little bit. She shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will answer her. I will be with him in trouble. I will be with her in trouble. I will deliver him. I will deliver her and honor him and honor her. Whew. See, Daniel got in trouble. Amen. I'm gonna be straight with you. As a Christian, you can do everything right and still get in trouble. You can do everything right and get in trouble. Daniel, you know what he was doing? What the biggest thing he got him in trouble? He was praying to Jesus. Daniel has more, he's got more prophetic stuff going on in the book of Daniel than just about every book of the Bible. He's got Isaiah and Revelations in the book of Daniel. Amen. Daniel seen more of what God was going to do than any man in the Bible. Amen. So you know what he did? He got before God and prayed often. And his enemies said, you know how we're going to take him out? We got to take him out through how he loves God. So he used to go into his house every day, go into his place, turn towards Israel, and pray to God. And they knew about it. So then they made a decree, and they said, you know what? O king, we need to get rid of these people, and we need to glorify you. So if anybody prays and glorifies any other name other than your name, then we need to throw them in the lion's den. You know what? Daniel heard the decree. And see, I am all about following the rules. I'm all about following the laws. I'm all about following what's right. I am. Until they say you can't worship God. Until they say you can't worship Jesus. Until they say it's wrong to do God stuff. I'm like, all right, that's when we'll have to go against the law and the rule and everything else. So Daniel said, okay, we can't pray. No, if you pray, we're going to put you in the lion's den. So Daniel did something different than he always did. No, he didn't compromise. No, he didn't quit. He went and opened up his windows. That's some of y'all need to open up your windows. What I mean by that, some of y'all need to live outwardly like you say you're living inwardly. Amen? Some of y'all need to let your Jesus out. He went to the windows and said, if y'all going to have a real issue with people praying in the name of Jesus, I want to make it very, very clear that I am. I'm not going into the basement praying like I normally do. I'm going to stay in the upper room next to the windows, and I'm going to scream out that I love Jesus, that I love God. Don't you know they're going to throw you in that lion's den? Amen? Yeah, but guess what they said? Listen to this. I love this. Watch this right here. That 91, what was that? 91:15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I wrote that down as the I will be with you in trouble. If God will get with Daniel in trouble, he will get with you in trouble. If God gets you into the trouble, then he will get with you in the trouble. Amen. He will be standing right there with you no matter what happens. So praise God. If you're going to get in trouble with God, don't worry. He will show up. I will be there. Whew. Man, if I'm going to get in trouble with God, I don't care. Amen. Well, you're too much Jesus. You're going too crazy. You're going too far. I've heard that my whole adult life. You've gone too far for Jesus. You're out of your mind. That's impossible. Amen? That's impossible. I've not gone far enough yet. I'm trying to still even up the scales. Some of us got saved a little bit later than everybody else. I'm still trying to get the scales even close to even. Amen? I want to stand before God and him say, enter in my good and faithful servant. I know he's talking about Jesus, but I wouldn't mind if it meant something about me. I wouldn't mind if I said, well, that ain't, I did have a little part in it. I did do something. I did do a little bit. I did what I could. Amen. Some of us got more gifts and talents and abilities. I am a hammer. I am a very simple tool for God. I am. I don't make no bones about it. I'm a one-trick pony. Can't sing. Can't do a lot of stuff. Can't play the piano. Can't play instrument. Can't do a lot of stuff. Praise God said, I gave you a mouth. Just use that. Okay, I can do that, Jesus. When you see me show up, God reached in the tool shed and he got out a hammer. There's a hammer. Amen. I got boom, boom. That's all I can do. But praise God, I know who I am. Amen. You should know who you are. Hey, just wear me out, Lord. Wear me out. Use me to your... But guess what? If he gets you in trouble. Listen, if you get in trouble for doing right. Some of y'all sitting there going, I'm going to get in trouble tonight. No, if you get in trouble serving God. Not your trouble. He will go through that with you too. But don't be surprised if he's the one wielding the belt. Oh, mom and daddy might not whoop you, but God can and will. I tell people all the time, I say, I got saved. They get excited. They go, I got saved. I got Jesus. I say, no, you got a daddy. Amen. You don't know what that means till you get him. Amen. Because you still used to get away with it. Golly. Has anybody in here experienced it? I know it's 2020. I know fully that God blesses people. God is a good, good father. And I know you can crawl up in daddy's lap. I do it all the time. But let me tell you something, another thing about daddy. He catches you doing what you ain't supposed to be doing. Daddy will break you off. We don't nobody ever preach it hardly anymore. My Father, my Heavenly Father, he can. All he has to do is say just a word. Amen? Just a word. I'll be happily running through the Bible or sitting in a sermon. I'll be sitting there going, hallelujah, praise God, this is awesome. And God will say, phew. And I'll be like, he knows. He knows. Amen? He knows. But he will get with you in the trouble. Let's go to Hebrews 13:21 real quick. Run over there. Back to Hebrews. Hebrews 13:21. It's the E in Daniel. He says he is equipped for the calling. He is equipped for the calling. You'll be equipped for the calling. Hebrews 13:21. Let me read 20 with it, and it'll make sense. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. That right there is equipped, all right? Verse 21, right there at the very beginning, says, make you perfect. That word, that's a good translation there right there is, he will equip you, golly bum, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is a well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want you to know this. I don't care who you are in this room. God, if you sell out to him, if you follow him, and you trust him, guess what? He will equip you to everything he wants you to do. He will complete you. He will make you available, and he'll give you the ability to do whatever you have to do. Daniel had so many abilities. He had prophetic abilities. He had prayer abilities. He had dream abilities. He could do a lot of different things, but he couldn't do any of them without God. And he couldn't do any of them until he said, you know what, God? I'll trust you. Some of y'all are sitting here going, one day God's going to bring in all the accessories that come separately from my life. You know, when you're a kid, we got toys when we were a kid, and all the accessories were sold separately. Mattel was just trying to make money, all right? So you got the basic thing, and then you had to buy all the stuff to go with it, right? Well, guess what? Jesus did not sell you separately, amen? Everything you're going to need is in Christ and in you, amen? Everything that you need is in Christ and in you. God ain't waiting for someday. One day you're just going to get this super thing. It's going to come in, and it's going to make you awesome. It's going to make you smart. It's going to make you this. Guess what? You're wrapped in the way God wanted you to be. The only thing missing from your life was Jesus. And when he plugs into you, praise God, he equips you for every good thing he has called you to do. There was never a thing that Daniel had to say, God,
You're going to need somebody else to do this. There was a night they had a big party. Man, I love this story. Belshazzar, I love his name too. Belshazzar had a party. He had his parents went out of town party. And they had a nice house party. They had a pool. Amen? They had a pool. They had a balcony. They had the perfect place for a pool. His uncle, Belshazzar's uncle, one time was turned into a beast and dwelt in the wilderness for 7 days. God made his skin turn into like feathers and gave him big claws, and he still didn't know no better. Never mind, golly bum. It was kind of like this, hey, Belshazzar, if you don't behave, you'll turn out like your uncle. Golly, have y'all never said anything like that to your kid? If you don't be careful, you'll end up somebody like somebody in your family. I mean, I got that up my whole life, amen? So guess what? It's okay, if you don't talk, you don't watch out, you're going to end up like your uncle so-and-so, or your aunt so-and-so, or your sister, or your brother, or you. All right, if you don't know that person, it's you. Okay. Well, Belshazzar says, I don't care, I'm going to have a party anyway. And he threw this giant party, and he's drinking. What he did is he took all the vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the king's temple, and he put it in there, and they were drinking, and they were partying out of it, and it was awesome. And they were like, hey, look at this, I got a gold chest. And they're drinking, and they're eating out of the bowls, and then God got upset with the party. And when God got upset with the party, all of a sudden, God got, just put his hand in it. Amen? He put his hand in the party, and he started writing on the wall. He wrote it like, tick-a, tick-a, money, money, like out there. And he didn't know it. Gosh, I'm sorry. I just said that, didn't I? He starts writing on the wall, and everybody in the party is freaking out. And Belshazzar kind of lost it. Let me tell you what happened. He didn't have a diaper on, and he lost it. Okay, I made it. That's as plain as I can get it. He did. Said his knees and joints got loose. If you need any more explanation, see me after church. And Belshazzar was sitting there looking at the wall, and he seen the hand, and he was scared. And he was like, man, something's wrong. And what they said? He said, well, what does it say? And they said, we don't want to know what it says. And he said, we need somebody down here that could tell us what it said. And they sent for Daniel, who didn't get to come to the party. Don't be upset if you're a Christian and you don't get invited to the party because you weren't supposed to be at the party in the first place. It's okay, because when God shows up, they'll ask you to come along and clean up the mess that they can't get cleaned up. I love this, man. I wonder how late tonight it was. They come knock on. Hey, Daniel, there's having a party up at Belshazzar's place. Yeah, I know. I heard about it. I couldn't hardly get to sleep after I did my nightly prayers on my lion skin rug. I just went soundly to sleep. Well, it seems like God has wrote on the wall, and the queen said, you're probably the only person that can translate it. Will you come up and kind of look at the wall? He's like, I really don't know if that's what I want to do. It's not my thing. He's like, because, I didn't even want to go to the party. He's like, no, now it's turned into, it's not a party anymore. It's a God thing. Isn't it amazing how the party ends and it turns into a God thing? Everything turns into a God thing. Daniel said, all right, let me get dressed. And he comes up to the party, and everybody watched him walking through. Could you see him? You see Daniel, he's walking in. Oh, man, look at this guy. You're not cool. You're not fun. You ain't been here. He goes, he walks over the wall, and he looks at it. He goes, oh, yeah, I know what that says. You do? Yeah, because instead of spending my time with everybody else, I spend my time with God. And I hear what God says, not what you say. Some of y'all need to spend some more time with God because you're listening to what the world says instead of what God says. And you don't know the difference, and sometimes you'll go under like the world instead of going with God. You know what? Let me tell you a little secret. At the end of all this, Christians, we win. You might think, man, if this election don't go our way, we win. If it don't go this way, we win. Oh, never mind. Y'all don't like that, but it's just true. Daniel walked in there and says, you've been weighed, and you've been measured, and you've been found without. And Belshazzar said, what? He said, okay, I'll say it again. God said, you've been weighed, and you've been measured, and you've been found without. Tonight, there's going to be somebody come along, and you're no longer going to be the king. Have a good night. It was awesome. See y'all. and he left. Amen? And that's how cool God is. Amen? He takes the person that nobody wanted to hear from, nobody wanted to be around, brings them in, and everybody had to listen to him, and everything that he said was absolutely true. He was perfectly equipped in God. Amen? He didn't show up. He didn't show up with some grand thing or nothing. He didn't show up, look at me, how this. He woke up and walked in and said, hey, this is what God said. This is what God's going to do, and I'll see y'all later. Some of y'all need to y'all need to let God equip you. And just walk in what God does in you. Don't be any more or any less. Just be who you are in Christ Jesus. Man, when God saved me, one of the greatest things he did other than my salvation is gave me identity in myself. I ain't trying to please nobody. I'm just trying to be me. Amen? And God's all right with that. Let's end this right here. We'll do the L and Daniel. Go to Proverbs 22:1. Real fast. It's going to be quick. I promise. Proverbs 22:1. This is the L, and I would say it's leave a legacy. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Be like Daniel. Daniel's book was written almost 4,000 years ago. We're still talking about Daniel today. He left a legacy of somebody who trusted Jesus when he was a teenager all the way into his adulthood. Amen? He got to do great exploits for Jesus. He got to do great exploits for God. He got to say things, do things, and complete things that we might not ever get to do. I don't know if I'm ever going to be put in a lion's den. I hope not. Amen? But I want you to know this. He got to speak for God in the present or in the past, in the present, and in the future. Amen? And at the end of his life, he was somebody that people could look back on and say, that was a godly man. Amen? What I want you to do is I want you to choose a good name. Amen? Choose a good name over riches. Choose a good name over popularity. Choose a good name. That means when you're done within your life, somebody will say, he was a good man of God. She was a good woman of God. That's what you want. That's worth everything. See, when I first started out, and some of you too, when we first started out, we ruined our names. Amen? But when God saves you, he gives you another opportunity. Amen? He gives you a new name in heaven, but he also puts you under the name of Christ Jesus. Amen? Where you can leave a legacy for Christ. Some of you didn't get off to a good start, but you're going to finish well. Amen? Some of y'all are running real well, finish well. Some of y'all need to make up your mind. I'm going to start right now, and I'm going to finish real good. Amen? Everything has to have a start, but man, finishing so much better than starting. Amen? I'm going to start to go to church. Don't just start to go to church. Finish at church. Amen? I'm going to start to read the Bible. Finish the Bible. I'm going to start praying. Finish in prayer. Amen? I'm going to serve God. Finish in serving. Amen? Leave a legacy. Leave a good name. So let's look back at this. Dedicate your life. Let God navigate. God will be with you in the trouble. He will equip you for your calling, and he will allow you to leave a good legacy if you allow him to. Come on, Scott. Let's all stand.